Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 33. You had David Ring last week, and one thing I learned, I can't compete with David Ring. But I did learn that you all don't mind going past 12 o'clock. And on Sunday night, we had a two-hour service, Sunday night, Monday night. And people said, oh man, time went by so quick. They don't ever say that with me. But I'm not here to compete. I'm here to preach the truth that God has given to me to pass on to you this morning. We've been looking at the book of Exodus on Sunday morning. We're going back to the book of Exodus this morning. And I want to read a portion out of Exodus chapter 33, beginning verse 12. And let me tell you just a little bit of the context. The children of Israel have gotten ready to obey the word of God, to respond to the Ten Commandments, to build the tabernacle. And while Moses is up on the mountain, you remember they fell into a great sin. They danced around the golden calf and they did something that was horrible, and God was angry with them. And God was going to judge them, and did judge them, and brought destruction upon the camp. And Moses goes up on the mountain again and he prays. And Exodus 33, beginning at verse 12, is a portion of that prayer that we have a record of what he asked God to do while he was up on the mountain. And so if you would stand with me as we read God's word together, we're going to begin reading at verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'Also, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now therefore, I pray, If I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then it can be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Then Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." And then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. Lead us and guide us, speak to us with your holy truth, and may we respond to your truth in our lives. But also, God, we pray that you would grant to us the request that we make here this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever made a bold request? Maybe you went into the boss and asked for a pay raise, one you hadn't seen in a while. You weren't exactly sure how they would respond, but you decided to be bold and ask for a pay raise. You teenagers, the first date, first time you ask a person out, boy or girl, I remember the first time, I mean, I was shaking. It's the fear of rejection, isn't it? But if you don't get bold, you'll never be able to ask anybody out. You'll never be able to go out. You'll never have a date. If I hadn't asked Damani to marry me, she wouldn't have married me. I had to ask. I had to have a bold request. And by the way, I asked her 5 weeks after I met her for the first time. And she said yes. So remember that. Have you ever made a bold request to God in prayer? A request that is so bold that you would wonder whether or not he could really answer it. But I want you to know, it is never about God's ability. God is always able to answer any request, no matter how large, no matter how great. God is able. The question is never, is God able? The question is, does God want to? Is God willing? And if you know God in your heart, and you present Him with a bold request, I want you to know He can. The only answer, the only question is He willing to do that in your life? But we have not because we ask not. And we do not receive because we ask for the wrong things. But I want to challenge you to make bold requests to God in prayer. Years ago, we did training and teaching in previous churches I've served in. And we did training, equipping, and experiencing God. Any of you been through experiencing God? A few of you have, okay? It talks about the seven realities of knowing God. And man, it's an awesome experience just to walk through that material, that discipleship material, and be equipped. And one of the things he talks about in that material is asking God for things that you know that unless God does it, it's never going to happen. I remember one experience. Brother Blackaby, who wrote the material, he talks about it. He was pastoring a church in Canada, and he said, we decided we were going to have three budgets that year, three church budgets. One budget was only what we could do with our resources. The second budget was only what we could do with the resources if other people outside of our church contributed to our cause. And the third was a budget that only we could do if God showed up. And you know what? At the end of the year, you know which budget they met? The third budget. The budget that they did things they could only do if God showed up. And they got income coming into their church and into their ministry from resources and people they didn't know anything about, had no connection with. God just laid it on their heart to send to them, and they were able to expand their ministry and plant new churches and see people come to Christ because He made a bold request to God in prayer. I want to challenge us this morning and look at the example of Moses. Two things. I'm going to spend the most part of my sermon on point two, but point number one, a bold request requires a proper relationship. A bold request requires a proper relationship. In verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." He's repeating back what God has said to him. God has said to Moses, "You have found favor in my sight." And he's unhappy with the Israelites because of the sin in their life, but he's pleased with Moses. And I think one of the reasons he's pleased with Moses, he knows who Moses is. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to those who are humble. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says that Moses was more humble than any other person on the face of the earth. He was a humble man. We see that a little bit in his call early on in the book of Exodus. You remember God called him, and he didn't say, "All right, God, aren't you lucky to have me on your team?" He didn't say that. He said, "God, you need to send somebody else. I'm not adequate. I am not capable." See, he was humble before the Lord, and God recognized that humility and wanted to do something with it. But he knew Moses. He knew Moses' heart. He knew Moses personally. He said, "Moses, I'm not going to go up with those people, but I'll go up with you because I know you and I care about you." And that's when Moses begins to intercede in behalf of the nation of Israel. The book of Hebrews says we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. The throne of God's grace. We can come into the throne room. Think about that. There is God on His throne, and we can approach Him, spiritually speaking. We can approach Him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And the Bible says we can come to Him boldly, not timidly, not frightened, not scared. We can come to Him boldly, asking for Him to grant our requests because He is a God of grace and mercy who desires to grant to us the requests that we ask of Him. We can be as bold as Moses was as he cried out to God. You see, Jesus, we don't approach God because we are righteous in and of ourselves, but Jesus has made us righteous. That is a result of His righteousness that He has imputed and imparted to us. We can come before the throne of grace as a child of God, as a son and daughter of God, and we can approach Him and ask just like our children ask us for things with that kind of boldness. I have grandkids, several of them. About to have one more. I'll tell you what, when my grandkids come up and ask me for something, I can hardly say no. Occasionally I do. But man, I want to give them. The only time I say no is when I think it's something that's not beneficial to them. And God, our Heavenly Father, is the same way. He only says no when He knows it's not beneficial to us and does not bring glory to Him and does not advance the kingdom of God. But listen, God desires to say yes to us when it brings glory to Him, it brings good to us, and advances His kingdom. We know it's in His will when those things align. And because of that relationship, we can come and ask God to do great things and ask for bold things and know that God will hear and respond to us. There's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 19. The Apostle Paul is on one of his missionary journeys and he's been casting out demons and he has been exercising great power, and there are those who desire his power but they do not know the relationship that he has with the Heavenly Father. And these seven sons, they were sons of a man by the name of Sceva, and he was a magistrate and a magician in the area, and he wanted to do some great things, and his seven sons saw Paul casting out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus, and so they decided to try to cast out demons too because they wanted glory for themselves rather than glory for God. And the Bible said the demons within the man they were trying to cast out says, "We know Paul and we know Jesus, but we don't know you." And he pounced on them and beat up those seven boys. That tells you, you don't ask for bold things unless you have a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. The Bible said God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And to ask God boldly for something, we need to have a relationship with Him as a son or a daughter. But as a son or a daughter of Christ, my friends, you can come to Him with the boldest of requests. And He will hear and answer that request according to His will and His purpose. Second thing I want to say is this. A bold request will bring bold results. A bold request will bring bold results. And what I want us to focus in on in the time that we have left are these three things that Moses specifically asked God for. The first thing he asked God for, and it should be the prayer of our own heart because this is a bold request. He says, "God, teach me your ways. God, teach me your ways." What do you intend to do with us, God? What is it you want? Verse 13, "Let me know your ways that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." He's basically saying, "God, teach me your ways. Help me to know your ways. Give me direction in my life, in the life of the Israelite people. God, teach me your ways." How often do you get up in the morning and ask God, "God, I need direction for my life today. I want you to show me what I need to do with my life today. I want you to use me today. I want to bring glory and honor to you today. God, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Give us direction in our life." Each of us should desire God's direction in our lives. We should seek God's ways and follow Him as He leads us. That should be the overwhelming desire of our heart, to seek God's will. Tonight I'm going to preach a message out of Proverbs on knowing and doing the will of God. And so I'm going to follow up on this particular theme from this particular point tonight, in tonight's message, knowing and doing the will of God. But I want to tell you, you're never a success until you're in the center of the will of God. You are not successful from God's definition of success unless you're in the center of the will of God. We should ask God to teach us His ways, to show us His ways, to give us direction in our life. I've shared with you before my personal testimony at the age of 16. I was at a youth camp in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, Ridgecrest Baptist Assembly. I felt God's tug on my heart, and I surrendered my life to Him at that moment. I said, God, whatever You want me to do with my life, I want to do it. And if You would just give me direction in my life, I will follow You wherever that leads. At age 16, I did that. I didn't know what that meant at the time. I didn't know what direction God was pulling me. At age 19, I was back in North Carolina, a small country church with a large group from our church back home, and we were doing lay renewal weekend, and we were sharing our testimonies and telling people about Jesus. And in the prayer room before a Saturday night service, I remember praying this prayer: God, what is it You want me to do with my life? And is there anything that I need to do in this service right now to keep from quenching the Spirit of God in my life? Show me what it is. And God just spoke as clearly as I'm speaking to you here today. And God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to be a preacher of the gospel. And that night, before the service was done, a service, by the way, that went till almost 11 o'clock. We started at 7. You think David Ring was long? But my friends, by the time that service was over, more people were at the altar than were in the pew. People giving their hearts, their lives, their commitment to Jesus. And at age 19, I surrendered to the call to ministry. Sometimes it's difficult to know where God's going to lead, where that direction will lead us. And I remember just a year later, after I surrendered to ministry, I met my wife and got engaged. And a year later, we got married. 11 months after we got engaged, we got married. And I was pastoring a church when we got married. And my brother said, Jay, I'm going down to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas to take a look at the seminary. You want to go? And I said, not really. He said, it's a free vacation. They'll give us a few nights down there. He said, me and Dolores are gone. We'll pay for the gas. You want to go with us? I said, well, we've only been married a month. A free vacation. Let's go. And I remember Bonnie and I walking across that campus. We just walking across one night, and the Spirit of God stirred in our hearts. And I said, Bonnie, this time next year we'll be here at Fort Worth, won't we? And she goes, yeah, we will. God just spoke to our hearts and directed us to that place. And I can tell you, every journey, every step, every road mile, every milepost, every road marker along the way, God has given us His direction. And even coming here, I did not know what God had in store. But I am so blessed to be your pastor. I'm so blessed to be here. I am so grateful for what God has done in my own heart and life. And I hope along the way you have been blessed as well. But I am grateful that God does not stop leading. God does not stop directing. And so if you don't know where God wants you to go, just stand still. Just stay put until you're sure. Because God wants to make clear to you His will, His purpose, His direction in your life. And do not move until you know clearly that direction. The second truth, the second thing He asked for was this: do not send us up from here without Your presence. Verse 15, if Your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. And what God basically said to Moses, I'm so angry with these people, I'm going to let You lead the people and I'll be with You, but I'm not going to be with them. My presence is not going to go with them. They are obstinate, rebellious people. I am not going to make My presence known to them. And Moses says, God, if You don't move from here with Your presence, then I don't want to go. When I was young in the ministry, I would sometimes get upset with the lethargy of my congregations, and I would say, let's do something, even if it's wrong. That's bad theology. Now, God may have honored the passion and the desire, But if we don't know what's right, we shouldn't be doing it. If we're not sure where God is leading, where God's directing, then we ought to stay put until we are sure. And God said to Moses, I'm not going to go up with you because of the sinfulness of the people. And Moses says, oh God, please leave me with your presence. I do not want to go from this place. You see, God had been leading them with a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And now God says, hey, you're never going to be certain whether I'm leading you or not because my presence is not going to be known to you. You're not going to see what you used to see. You're not going to experience what you used to experience. And Moses says, then I don't want to go anywhere. Unless your presence goes with me, God, I don't want to go. Every church I've ever served, I said, God, if you can't bless me there, I don't want to go. If you're not going to go with me there, if you're not going to put your hand upon me there, I don't want to go. And I want to tell you, when God led me here to South Avenue Baptist Church, God gave me a promise. I will bless you as you go. I will bless you personally, and I will bless your church. And I know sometimes you all look at the reality of the situation and you say, man, I remember how it used to be. I want to tell you, we're not living in the land of used to be. The promised land was ahead, not behind. The culture's not what it used to be. The commitment level of people's not what it used to be. But I believe, as David Ring said last weekend, that if God so desired and we would be so committed, we could see our church double next year. This time next year, we could see twice as many people in the pews, twice as many people involved in Bible study. You say, you just want a big church. No, I want more people headed to heaven. I want more people growing in faith in Jesus Christ. I want more people living for Jesus, committed to Him. I don't want to see anybody out on the perimeters living for the devil. You're either living for Jesus or you're living for the devil. I want people to live for Jesus. And if we will follow God's leadership, if we will ask Him to lead us, my friends, He will lead us to success and prosperity and fullness and glory. And that's the last thing He asked for. Show me your glory. We sing about it this morning. Show me your glory. Verse 18, Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Now that was an interesting thing to say because it seems like Moses had already seen God's glory. He'd been up on the mountaintop. He's been in the midst of the cloud. But in the midst of the cloud, his vision was still somewhat muddy. He still was having difficulty seeing all of God's glory that he wanted to see. And so he said, I want to know more of your glory. I want to see more of your glory. Yes, God, I've experienced you. Your glory has been so strong on me that it's been even difficult for the Israelites to be around me. But I want to know even more glory. I want to experience your glory. I want you to show me your glory. And God says, I can't show you all my fullness. If I do, I will destroy you. Because God, in all of His holiness, confronted with man's sinfulness, He would just consume us. But He said, what I will do, Moses, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by. I'm going to put my hand over the rock, and after I pass by, you will see the afterglow. You will see my glory as I pass by. And I want to tell you, that's enough. If you see God's glory as He passed by, I want people to walk into this church and say, man, God's been here. Woo! I feel that. I know that. God's been here. Woo! Let's go back next week and see if we can experience some more of God's glory. God's been here. If you come to church on Sunday and you leave feeling like God has not been here, I want to ask you to pray for a bold request and say, next Sunday, God, show me your glory. Pour out your blessings. Let heaven descend. May we experience a little bit of heaven on earth before we get to heaven. God, show us your glory. And if God shows His glory, I want to tell you, you cannot come into contact with a glorious, holy God without being forever changed in your own heart and life. Moses was changed. He was physically changed. He came down off that mountain. He had put a veil over his face so people would see him. They say, oof, too much glory. He didn't have to tell anybody, I've been with Jesus. They knew he'd been with God. They knew he had been with God. You could see it all over him. And listen, you don't have to brag about your Christianity. When you spend time with the Heavenly Father and His glory begins to shine in your life, you don't have to tell people about it. They'll see it. They'll see it. That means you still need to witness. But my friends, you don't have to brag about your spirituality. They'll see your spirituality. The desire of our heart should be to grow in a knowledge and understanding of Holy God. Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he cried out, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And God sent a holy angel with tongs. He took some incense off the altar, and he went and purged Isaiah's lips. And he says, now, whom will I send? Who will go for me? Who will be my messenger? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. He was changed by his experience with a holy God. He saw God's glory, and he went out and made a difference in his world. Paul said, I desire that I may know him. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 3 at the very end of his life. He said, oh God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. I want to know the power of your resurrection. Resurrection power is the most powerful power there is. Resurrection power. You can't even get, that's more powerful than an atom bomb. That's more powerful than a hydrogen bomb. My friends, that is the most powerful power there is. Paul says, I want to know that power. And he said that towards the end of his life. And even though he knew God, he said, I want to know you even more intimately. I want to know you even more clearly. I want to know you even more deeply. God, show me your glory. God, give me your glory. Let me experience your glory. D.L. Moody, it was often said as he stood up to preach, he said he did not want people to go away say, my, what a great preacher. But he said, I want people to go away say, my, he preached about a great God. He preached about a great God. My friends, we serve a great God. We serve a great God. I know this. I've experienced the worst sermons I've ever preached, from my estimation. At the end of that sermon, God showed up and did something this old preacher boy could never do. And God taught me, it's not about you. It's all about me. And you may say, God can't use you. God can't use me. Yes, He can. If you will come to Him with some bold requests, you will be a bold prayer warrior and believe God for bold results, and you will ask God to show you His ways, to let you see His glory, to know and experience His glory. My friend, God will use you. God will use you. He can use you to touch hearts and lives. We are all broken people. We are not perfect. And if David Ring taught us anything last week, did he teach us anything? God can and wants to use us. No matter how imperfect the vessel, God wants to use us. From my estimation, David's a more perfect vessel than I am. But only from my estimation. God wants to use us all. No matter what our experiences, no matter what our situation in life, God wants to use us all. He will use your story to touch the hearts and lives of people around you. And so I challenge you, pray, seek bold request, and expect bold results. Now, having said that, I mentioned a few weeks ago that we're trying to do this one day, one church routine where one day a month, our church is responsible for praying for our community and for other churches in the area. And we're trying to cover a whole 24-hour period for that one day a month. In the very back there, I need some bold prayer warriors who will sign up and say, I'll be a part of praying some bold things for our community, some bold prayer requests. And we'll give you the training after you sign up. We're going to have some training here in a couple weeks. But if you want to be a part of our prayer ministry here at South Avenue, and we're trying to cover a full 24-hour period, if you see somebody that's got an hour you want, go ahead and put your name beside of them. We'll let you fight it out in arm wrestling match to see who gets that hour. Now, hopefully we have more than enough people to maybe cover 2 hours, two people on every hour. But I'm going to ask you to commit today to pray and ask God for some bold requests in prayer. More than anything else, as your pastor, I want to see God's glory every week at South Avenue Baptist Church. I want to see God show up in the hearts and lives of people. And if you don't see that, it's not because God's not here. It's because your spiritual vision is clouded and you've not been making the bold request. Because God wants to reveal His glory to those who have asked Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We know that You want to bless us and honor us every week with Your presence. I pray, God, that we would not only know that You want to do that on Sunday when we gather together to worship, but You want to do that in our lives individually every day. You want Your glory to be revealed to us and in us and through us so that we can make an impact on those around us. And I pray, God, we would do our part because we know that You will not fail in doing Your part. And so, God, help us to be committed to Your cause. We pray this in Jesus' name.